For WUKY News, I'm Dan Collins, and this is The Business Side. Almost a month ago, I spoke with Dr. Kenneth Trosky about the status of the economy approaching the election, and he's back on the program today to give us an update now that the election appears to be over. Dr. Trosky is the Richard W. and Janice H. First Endowed Chair of Economics at the University of Kentucky. Dr. Trosky, welcome back.
Dan, thanks for having me back on.
When we last spoke, I asked you about President Trump's prediction that if Joe Biden were to win the election, the stock market would crash. It does appear that Joe Biden will be the next president, so did that happen?
Well, at least over the last week, it certainly didn't crash. The stock market has to continue to grow. I mean, the stock market, so for example, the Dow Jones Industrial, if that's how you're measuring it, is the price that people pay for these 30 stocks, and the Dow went up fairly substantially, as did any sort of measure of the size of the market. But, you know, prices that people are paying are a function of demand and supply for stocks. And there are a lot of reasons why people are buying and or selling at a point in time. So trying to hang a single reason for why more people are, you know, want to buy stock and pushing the price up is often challenging. There were several things that have occurred since the election. First, Joe Biden clearly seems to have won the election. A relatively small minority of people sort of doubt that. Unfortunately, one of those people happens to be sitting in the White House. You know, businesses are not overly concerned about that. You know, I think they would like a little more stability. I think they recognize as well that some of Biden's policies are not going to be quite so friendly to businesses as Trump's are. But stability and sort of certainty, understanding what's going to happen going forward, I think is one thing that they value, and they'll get more of that. I think they would also value decline in tariffs. There's been a lot of news about a potential vaccine for the COVID-19 virus, and that's probably had a pretty big impact on the market. The other thing I think it's important to keep in mind is not only did Joe Biden get elected, but, you know, the Democrats didn't sweep the House and Senate, at least so far. Obviously, we still have a question about the Senate. The Democrats maintain their majority in the House, although they lost seats, kind of surprising. And there's an open question about whether they will take over the Senate. Obviously, with the two runoffs that are going on in Georgia, will determine who actually controls the Senate. I think part of what the market was reacting to as well, potentially, is a divided government. The market probably views a divided government more positively than either the Democrats or the Republicans controlling all branches of government, because I think that means that whatever comes out in terms of legislation is more likely the result of negotiations, compromises, and agreements.
You mentioned that some of Joe Biden's policies may be unkind to small business owners. Can you give me some examples that might have a negative impact on, say, business owners in Lexington?
Sure. Minimum wage. There's a policy that Joe Biden's pushing for a $15 an hour minimum wage. Despite all of the rhetoric, economists still think demand curves slope downwards and supply curves slope upwards. And that includes the demand and supply for labor. Imposing a minimum wage that is potentially binding, that would actually affect people, would lead to a decline in the demand for labor. We can discuss how big that decline would be. Without question, a minimum wage has a bigger impact on small businesses. So that would be something that I don't think a Republican president would promote. You know, there's other just general enforcements of various regulations and changes in rules concerning, you know, occupational licensing and things like that that could impact business owners that are more likely to occur under a Biden administration than a Trump administration. Potentially more regulation of banks. Why would more regulation of banks affect small business owners? Well, because small business owners often turn to banks for sources of credit to run their business. And if there are more regulations imposed on banks, it makes them potentially less willing to make these riskier loans to small business owners, or the cost of those loans, given the additional regulation, would go up. And so that would be, you know, another aspect that could potentially hurt small business owners, you know, including perhaps a more Consumer Financial Protection Bureau being more active in imposing regulations on businesses in the market. Again, regulations like these tend to have a disparate impact on smaller business owners than larger business owners.
I recently spoke with Ashley Watts from the Kentucky Chamber of Commerce about their Road to Recovery plan. One of their proposals is to increase the gas tax to fund infrastructure. Who will that affect the most? And in your opinion, is this a good long-term strategy?
So who does it affect most? Well, it affects the people who drive the far, you know, who use their car the most. And so if you're doing a lot of driving, a gas tax affects you the most. It will also tend to affect people who not only drive a lot, but also tend to drive older vehicles, because older vehicles get, you know, worse gas mileage than newer vehicles do. And so presumably older vehicles tend to be driven by people with less money. And so gas tax, they're filling their tank up more often. And so that affects those folks as disproportionately as well. So in terms of funding infrastructure, though, I mean, we need to figure out some way to fund, continue to repair roads and provide infrastructure. The question is how we do it. Use taxes, which is what a gas tax is. It taxes people who use the infrastructure more than people who use it less. I tend to ride my bike to work because I live kind of close to work. I don't drive my car all that often, don't fill it up all that much. Probably wouldn't have much of an impact on me. It would have a bigger impact on somebody who lives farther away from work, farther out from the center, you know, from the university. But they use the roads more than I do. So that would be why you might impose that sort of tax. One only has to look at the Brent Spence Bridge to understand that perhaps there are some sensible investments. The other problem is, of course, when things like bridges and roads like that, you know, some of the best ways to tax it are maybe not gasoline taxes, but actually direct use taxes, and those are called tolls. But despite all of the technology and all of the amazing advantages that tolls afford, and the fact that, you know, now you can put a little thing in your windshield and you never even stop at the toll booth, around here, tolls are an anthem. You know, people just get all bent out of shape about the concept of actually making somebody who uses the good the most pay the most taxes for it. You know, we've long talked about replacing bridges over the Ohio River, but we can't agree because we can't seem to figure out how to finance it through a toll. A gas tax is, I guess, the next best alternative. We did manage to get tolls imposed on bridges over Louisville, and the world didn't end. But anyhow, that seems to be an issue that people sort of have a blind spot for. I hate tolls.
In the time we have left, another recent topic has been the amount of money the state spends on corrections. You've studied this sector in the past. What can we do better?
I will say it is expensive to house individuals in a way that courts have determined is a humane way, and I would say rightfully so. It's an expensive proposition to lock people up for a long period of time and continue to feed them and clothe them and things like that. So it's expensive for a lot of those nonviolent criminals. You know, we saw an explosion in this country in prison infrastructure and also the number of people that we have put in prison. I think we're, in terms of per capita basis, I think we're number two in the world behind China. It seems as if finding ways to lower that, what is an enormous expense for the state, would be beneficial, so that perhaps we can use that money to invest in things that perhaps would produce more growth and productivity, enhancing measures and improved welfare of more citizens in Kentucky.
My guest on the program has been Dr. Kenneth Trosky. He's the Richard W. and Janice H. First Endowed Chair of Economics at the University of Kentucky. You can hear our conversation online at wuky.org. Dr. Trosky, thanks for talking with me.
Enjoyed it, Dan. Hope we can talk again soon.